series today. We just finished up a series called Jesus Is. And we went through like four or five weeks talking about Jesus, who was not just a historical character. He is our mercy. He is our peace. So we just finished that. If you would like to get the CDs, you can sign up. There's some envelopes in the back. You just toss them in there. Or go online, sign up, and you get it for free, and you can listen to it. Okay? So we're finishing that. Okay, I'm starting a new series called Building a Better You. Let's pray. I need prayer. Hallelujah. Father God, we just come to you because where else will we go? You're so good. You're enormous. Your love that reaches. You care so much for us that you've given us your Son, your Holy Spirit, the Word of God that just helps us through this life. We're not just stuck here just enduring as poor pitiful, but we're here as triumphant church. And we thank you today you would open the Word. You'd open the Word that would pierce our hearts, that would encourage us, that would lift us and take us higher in you, in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. All righty. So I'm starting a brand new series called A Better You, Building a Better You. How many would like to maybe exchange the you that you are now for something better? I know, I'm still going for size two, you know. Okay, but really, how about if you could become better? Become better. Who would like to become better? How about a better life? Oh, yeah, praise God. You didn't know what last week was, right? A better life. So we're going to start talking about that. Now, let me ask you a question. Have you ever gotten this in the mail, one of those letters that says, oh, you've won a free trip to the Caymans? Oh, wow, just call this number. And I have to tell you, I did. And then you find out all the ridiculous things that it really wasn't free. It was a scam, right? And in the beginning, though, you're about halfway through that, you're going, it's too good to be true. Everybody say that. Too good to be true. So years ago, when someone came up and said, hey, I've got this deal. If you give us your money, like $1,000, in 1 month, you can make $50,000. I think it was $5,000. It wasn't that bad. Okay, $5,000. You give us $1,000 in 1 month, we can turn it over and you can make $5,000. And I won't tell you the people that did. And they, guess what? Halfway through that, they should have been thinking, I think that's just too good to be true. Because they got scammed and everybody lost. And the guy who was running that ended up in jail. I didn't say that. She did. Oh, gosh. All right. So how many of you know that sometimes when somebody tells you something is too good to be true, more than likely it's too good to be true? Unless, everybody say unless. Unless God says something. Unless God says something in here, and you're reading it and you're going, man. Wow, that's like too good to be true. Listen, if God said it, if God said something to you and you're thinking it's too good to be true, it is, and the only problem is you don't understand it yet. It is true, but the problem is you don't understand it yet. And I've been reading this for a long time and still getting understanding. Anybody still reading this and getting understanding on things that are too good? Okay, so I said all that to say that as I was preparing for this series we're going to do, Building a Better You, it started, I was in, first I read 1 Peter, then I was in 2 Peter, and I read this verse and I thought, oh my gosh, can this be true? Wow. Well, I want to tell you today that what I'm going to share is true, and if you hang with me for the next couple weeks, your life will radically change. I'm not going to change it. This God who we love, the word that is true, will radically change your life. Because it is too good to be true, but it's true. Anybody excited about that? Okay. Everybody, we need to change. Yeah. Okay. So, now how about if you're a person that's been a follower of Jesus Christ for a long time, I will guarantee you this will change your life radically again. I am that sure, because I know this is a sure thing, all right? So, will you open up to 2 Peter? We're going to be reading 2 Peter chapter 1. Bam. I might get to one other scripture, but just get your phones out, your Bible apps, your tablets, whatever. That's where we're going to be today. And if anybody wants a Bible, we've got some in the back. You can follow along. You can even write in my Bible and take it home, okay? It can be yours. Okay, 2 Peter chapter 1. Now, I am going to take this first scripture out of context. What I mean is, usually, you know, it's like, oh, yeah, that one, that's so cool. And you're not supposed to do that, though I do that occasionally. And today I'm going to do this with a purpose. I'm going to pick a scripture, and I'm going to take it out of context, but later on I'm going to put the whole puzzle together. So you just hang in with me, okay? All right, so I already warned you, this is kind of, all right. 2 Peter. Hallelujah, 2 Peter. Everybody say that. Thank you, Dee. 2 Peter chapter 1. Verse 10. Therefore, that means you better find out what's therefore, but I'm not going to tell you yet. Therefore, brethren, if you have encountered the Lord Jesus Christ, you have a new name. You're called the brethren. You're the brotherhood. You're the buddies in Christ, okay? So who's this talking to? It's talking to me. It's talking to you. So therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call an election sure. If you do these things, you will never stumble. Man, that looks too good to be true. All right. If you do these things, you should underline that. Get your wife's lipstick out. Underline that. If you do these things, you will never stumble. Now, to me, I'm going, wow, that just sounds too good to be true. But the good part is, I didn't write this. So if I wrote this, you'd probably know, Pastor Dave, it's not going to work out. But this was written for you. It's true. All right. Now, everybody say real loud, not with your big football voice, too good to be true. Okay. Now, this isn't that quiet on the golf course. Shh, everybody, don't say anything. Okay. This is your football voice. You ready? Too good to be true. All right. And the too good to be true part is, if you do these things, you'll never stumble. All right. The Greek word for stumble also means where we get the word fall. So now let's say this. If you do these things, you will never fall. That is too good to be true. If you do these things, you will never fall. So, how many of you would be interested in your Christian life never to fall? Wah, wah, wah. All right. So, Peter is saying in this part, you will never stumble, you'll never fall in your life. I was like, man, I need that. Okay. But now, wait a minute. This is Peter who wrote this. This is Peter, who was one of the 12 disciples, who was a fisherman. This was Peter, who was notorious for being a rowdy friend. Anybody have one of those rowdy friends? You go, oh my gosh, I can't believe they just said that. Let's get out of here, okay? Last week, we talked about 4 crazy friends. By the way, you should get that CD, because everybody needs 4 crazy friends. And I'm going to add to that, you need 1 rowdy friend. Okay, so here's Peter. He's a fisherman. He's the rowdy kind of friend. His mouth usually always gets him in trouble, right? He's the guy, this is Peter, he's the guy that walked on the water, and a few minutes later, he sunk, right? This is the guy that, Jesus asked him this really profound question, who do they say I am? And Peter says, you are the Christ. And just a few verses down, Jesus says, get behind me, Satan, because Peter said something dumb out of his mouth. Okay? This is the guy who wrote this. This is the guy who denied Jesus 3 times. All right? So I would kind of say he's not perfect, right? Anybody identify with Peter? Not too perfect? Yeah, yep. Oh, yeah, also, this is the guy that cut off a servant's ear. This is the guy that wrote this. And he's going to tell us some things? Yes, he is. Okay. Now, back to this. Oh, by the way, let me, one more thing. I've got some notes written down. This is the guy that after Jesus died and rose from the dead, and he's still walking around the planet, first thing out of his mouth is, go tell Peter I've resurrected. This is the guy. Okay, this is the guy, and the reason why Jesus said that, this is the guy that is probably walking around with tremendous guilt because he denied Jesus. Okay, and Jesus goes, quickly, go tell Peter, I've risen from the dead. Everything's okay. You're forgiven. Okay, now I'm painting a picture of the guy who's writing this, all right? So his name is Peter, and he wrote this. Now, the guy who wrote this, you just found out he's really messed up and blown it a whole bunch of times, hasn't he? I mean, he's gone from glory to down to the pits. Glory to the pits. Glory to the pits. Wonder, what do they call that? Schizophrenic, bipolar, or something like that? Just kind of wonder. All right? So anyway, so he had all kinds of mess ups in his life, like all of us. Hopefully you have not cut anybody's ear off. Okay? But we've had mess ups in our life, right? And this guy, by the inspiration of God, it says, writes this book. And he tells you something that's too good to be true. He said, if you do these things that I'm going to tell you, you will never stumble or fall. Now, personally, if he just left the never out, I would have been tickled. Just never fall. Like, I get myself up. You know those runway models that walk down and all of a sudden they go splat? Well, I've almost done that a couple times. I would have been happy in life, just in my real life, not to do one of these wild wipeouts. But he tosses the word never. He puts never in there, Miss Kathy. I'm like, whoa, this is too good to be true. He puts the word never. If you do these things, Brenton, you will never stumble and fall. That's what he writes. Okay, anybody interested in never falling, stumbling, muffin, messing? All those things. Okay. So we are at 2 Peter. Dang, I'm going to get this. Somebody hold up these cards. Okay. 2 Peter chapter 1. But I want to pop over to, now I'm going to go back up a little, or really go up a little, to verse 5. I'm going to read 5, 6, and 7. 5, 6, and 7. Okay, here we go. But also for this very reason, giving all diligence. Now, when he says giving all diligence, he means quickly do this as fast as you can. All right? But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, adding to your faith virtue to virtue, knowledge to knowledge, self-control to self-control, perseverance to perseverance, godliness to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, love. All right? So what he's saying is he's got seven things, because back up, verse 10, if you do these are the things. Don't you like to know what you're adding to? Okay, so if you do these things, you'll never stumble, fall. If you apply these seven things, add to virtue, to your faith, to knowledge, to perseverance, love, right? If you add these things, you apply these things to your life, Peter says, by the inspiration of God, you will never stumble and fall. Okay. So if you put all those things in your life, right, you will never stumble and fall. Wow. Okay. So sound good to you? Anybody in for it? That sounds good to me. All right. So now let me back up again. I'm not really on the page. I'm on the path this way. 1 Peter was written about the church in having persecution, 1 Peter, and then how to get out of it, or how to go through it, how to go through persecution. 2 Peter, which is we're doing, the first part, actually the first chapter, talks about spiritual growth. And then the rest of it talks about not getting into false doctrine, and we're not going to get into that. Today we're going to talk about grow. Everybody say grow. Spiritually grow. So look at that person and say, good, you're going to grow up. Hallelujah. Yeah, okay. So we're going to talk about grow. Now, also, the series, Building a Better You, is going to talk, is all about you and your life growing. And actually, it's the second part of our vision here at YCF, First part of our vision is to gather to worship God. The second part is to grow. The third one is to go. This whole series is about the grow. Everybody say grow. Grow up spiritually. Amen. Because we want to grow in our relationship with the Lord. Some people just, you know, they just grow in with, they're friends with everybody. That's good, but that's not the best. We've got to grow with our relationship with the Lord. Okay, so that's why we're doing this series. So, how many of you are ready to start growing? Okay, don't poke the person next to you, all right? You know, growing spiritually or growing up actually dominoes. Can you imagine if we grow what this church looks like? If I grow, what does my church look like? If you grow, what does your church look like? How about if you grow, what's your marriage going to look like? A whole lot better, right? Can you imagine, right? So how about you start growing in these things, these seven things, and then you start applying it in your job. You start applying it in your job, and your boss is never going to have to call you in with those pink slips and say, I'm writing you up. You start applying this in your life on your job, and you're not going to get called into the office, and he's going to say, hey, listen, you need to straighten up your attitude, all right? Because when we start applying these seven things in our life, we're not going to stumble and fall, all right? How about, what would YCF look like if we were all spiritual giants of growing? And people would hear about us and they go, oh my gosh, those people, I don't know what they're teaching them, but you employ them? They come to work on time. And they work the hardest. They're the best workers. And I get that church over here. They are, I don't know what they're doing, but their kids are the best kids in school. Man, they're teens. Okay? What would happen if we started applying these seven things in our life? What would we look like? Okay, take a picture. All right, now let's start at verse 1. 2 Peter 1. Simon Peter, a bondservant and an apostle of Jesus Christ. Isn't it interesting he talks about servant first? Most of us like to flip our card out. Look at me, I'm so amazing. And his amazing first card was, I'm a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah. Okay, side sermon. Here we go. To the Simon Peter, a bondservant of the apostle, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who obtained like precious faith with us by the righteousness of God and Savior Jesus Christ. To those who have attained like precious faith. What he's saying, anybody who has asked Jesus Christ into their life, you have obtained the same precious faith as Peter, as the apostle, and I'm going to just blow your circuits, as Jesus. All right, write that down and look that one up. So he's writing to anyone who's born again, has asked Jesus Christ to be Lord of your life. You have this same equivalency, precious faith in you, okay? Now, let's see, where are we? Verse 2. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and the Lord Jesus, okay? How many of you need more grace in your life? How many need more peace in your life? How many of you have a situation where you think, oh God, I need some peace, I need some peace, all right? I need some peace in this situation, all right? But listen, how is that grace and peace gets multiplied in your life? Go look at this. How does it get multiplied? Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord. You don't get it. Okay, don't say that, Pastor D. Okay, I was going to say bad. Okay, you can't get it any other way except for coming into knowledge of who God is, who Jesus is, what he's given you. That's how you get more peace. That's how you get more grace. All right? Yoga. Meditating like that, not going to give you more peace. Might relax your body. Mine usually hurts afterwards. Okay? It's because I love to exercise. I love to exercise. Okay. So, how many of you want more grace and peace in your life? What do you do? Learn more about Jesus. That's pretty simple. That means this will be your best friend. All right? Now, verse 3. Okay. And his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge, again, through the knowledge of him who called us by his glorious virtue. All right. Basically saying, you get all things that pertain to life and godliness. What's that? You get all things, natural things and godly, spiritual things, when Jesus Christ, when he's your Lord. He gives you all things. He's not saying, well, I really don't like you. You're a blonde. We don't give that out. No, he says, I'm giving you all things. I don't care who you are. If you're my child, you get all things that pertain to living on this life. Can you imagine him just saying, okay, great, I've saved you. That's all you get. You have to tough it out till you die and go to heaven. But this scripture says, I'm giving you all things while you're on this life that'll radically change you, help you get out of junk. That's how much he loves us. He's given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Yes, Pastor D, shout, that's so good. Hallelujah, it's going to bring me out of my junk. Amen. All right. But the second part of that is through the knowledge of him. Again, all right? Again, if you want any of these things in your life, it all comes through knowledge. Okay, what do I mean? You need to know who God is. You need to know what Jesus has done for you. And because of what Jesus has done to you, how you get to walk it out, okay? So that's the kind of knowledge. Everybody say, I need knowledge. I need it now. Okay, verse 4. By which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through them you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped, underline, escaped the corruption that's in this world through lust. Okay. Hallelujah. Now, can I read that out of the NIV? That's a little, sometimes you read that and you go, what? I love King James, but what? Okay, NIV. Through these, he has given us his very great and precious promises, that through them you may participate in his divine nature and escape the corruption which is in the world caused by evil desires. In the world that's caused by evil desires. How many know there's a lot of evil desires in the world? Okay, all right, there are. And listen, if you have some evil desires, it doesn't make you a bad person. Pastor D, blasphemy, blasphemy. No, listen to me. If you have bad thoughts going through your brain, it doesn't make you a bad person. It just says you have flesh, okay, and we're working on it, all right? Because the thing that got brand new was my spirit, the real me. This thing, we're still scrubbing it, okay? So if you've got some bad desires or evil, bad thoughts going through your brain, you're not evil, okay? We're just working on it. Such as, I just want to rip every hair out of their head and smash their face through the wall. Chuck them off the roof. Okay, sometimes they go through my brain. Okay, but I'm not a bad person because I haven't done anything about it. Thank you, Jesus. Okay. All right. But listen, seriously. But we have some precious promises, right? That's what it says. We have some precious promises. And these promises can change me. Thank God. Thank God. Change me. Change me. Okay. And I don't have to be that same kind of person I was before I met Jesus and he came into my life. Because I notice you all have your hair in your head. See? It's changing me. Amen. All right. Now, let's go read verses 5, 6, 7, and 8. Okay? 5, 6, 7, and 8. But also, for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to your virtue knowledge. All right, I read that. Let's just skip that. Let me look at verse 8. Okay, let me do this. Okay. For if these things are yours and abound in you, those are the virtue, the knowledge, the self-control, the brotherly love. If those things are yours, okay, those things are yours, and abound in you, You will neither be barren nor fruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, now let me ask you a question. I'm going to flip it. Does that mean somebody can be barren? Yes? Anybody know those people? They've asked Jesus Christ, by the grace of God, they have asked Jesus Christ to be Lord of their life, and you just look at them and they probably haven't done anything. We would probably say, I'd love to say this one, they got in by the skin of their teeth, right? They're not serving the Lord. They're not doing anything. So this would be somebody who's barren. Don't raise your hand. Don't poke. Don't, all right? All right. Now, the positive side of this is if you do all those things in verse 5, 6, and 7, if you do all those things, it says you won't be barren. Look at that. You're not going to be barren. You're not going to be barren. You're not going to be unfruitful. All right? Now, if you do all those things, another word for that is idle. All right? Idle. If I put my car in neutral, it's just idling. Right? Is it going anywhere? No. Not going anywhere. Not going anywhere. A lot of people are not going anywhere in their life. It's not being radically changed. Not because Jesus didn't dump all this stuff for you. They've got it in the idol. All right? But it says, if you do all those things, your life won't be idle, barren, unfruitful. All right? Isn't that wonderful? Every pastor's going, yes, this is wonderful. They're not going to be idle. Hallelujah. All right? How many of you want to be idle? How many of you want to be barren? How many of you want to be unfruitful? No. How many of you want to bear fruit? Yeah, I want to bear fruit. Okay. Verse 8 is also saying, I could be, if I'm a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, if I've encountered him and he's changed me on the inside here, I could be a person that's producing, all right? Fruit, all right? Now, how about, you've got this person at work, and I'm telling you, they come in and they are just in a bad mood again. I could probably count the days they come in a good mood, okay? This person that you work with is in a terrible mood, and they could use you producing fruit and changing their life, right? Instead of, oh, that idiot, oh my gosh, I'm just gonna scream and tell him off. All right? So, God, Jesus, has given us these things, so you're gonna produce fruit, and then you're gonna, I like to say, contaminate. And not by, listen, most of the time, the way you produce fruit and in people encounter is usually not so much your words. It's what they see. It's how you are at work that they're going. They go home at night and they go to their spouse. I cannot believe this person. They are just like nice. They don't get into the gossip trap that we do in the lunchroom or snack room, whatever you call it, break room, all right? All right. So people should be going, wow. Hey, wow. Okay. Not so much by what we say. It's by how we live our life, right? Okay. Amen. Now, I'm going to close up, and I want to ask two questions. Today we're going to answer question number one because I don't have enough time. Yeah, look at that. I'm going to get you out. You're going to be first at Hosses. Not really. I still have 5 pages to go. But this is my closing part. All right. I want to ask two questions, and I want to give you the answer to one. The rest we're going to go over the next couple weeks. What is virtue? What is knowledge? What is self-control? What is brotherly love? What is love? La, la, la. Okay, so I can't answer question number two, but we are going to answer question number one. And I want you to walk out of here going, what do I need to do? Or experience. How about why? Yeah, that's right. Why do I need to add these to my life? Why? This is like the 2-year-old. Why, mommy? Why do I have to do that? Why? So, well, you're allowed to say that. Why do I need to apply these to my life? And I'm going to answer that for you. But listen, we should walk out of here knowing why, and also I want to. There's nothing worse than making a kid do something that they don't want to. You may get the right results, but oh, it wasn't fun, right? So I want you to walk out of here today knowing why we apply them to our life, and also you want to. Everybody say, I want to. I want to. I want to. Okay. So number one reason why we add these to our faith, because we don't want to be unfruitful and barren. All right, write that down. That's it. No, I'm going to give you more. But write that down. We don't want to be barren. We don't want to by the hair of our chinny chin chin and do nothing in this life, okay? We don't want to be barren. One Bible says ineffective and unproductive. I like that. I don't want to be unproductive, all right? Now, back to verse 8. For these things are yours and abound, and you will neither be barren, if these things are yours and abound in you, you will neither be barren or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted. Now, anybody nearsighted? And you have to wear some of these? I'm one of everything. I got triples going on here. Okay? The eye doctor calls it, you might have myopic? That... Yeah, whatever. Yeah, that's good. I like that. Did I say that? Myopathy? Right. That means short-sighted, nearsighted. You can only see things that are right up at your nose. Right? Nearsighted. Now, how about people? The Bible says if you don't have these things in your life, people, not me, the church down there, right? People can be all they're interested in is me. They can't focus on anything out there. Everything's the drama in their life now. That's all they focus on, the now. My family, my this, my house, my car, my church. But listen, God made a big world, and he puts you in this world that it's not just about you, it's about people. All around. And he needs you not to be short-sighted. He needs you to look over your nose and say, oh my gosh, that person over there, I can put some fruit into their life. So verse 9, for he who lacks these things is short-sighted even to blindness and has forgotten that he was cleansed of his own sins. All right. Okay, he who lacks these things, okay, what things? He who lacks these things, what things? Virtue, knowledge, temperance, self-control, love. Okay, there's seven of them. We'll get them, all right? So if you lack those things, this is what's going to happen in your life. I've been there, okay? I'm not pointing fingers. I have been there where it's all about me. All about me. It's all about me. And listen, guys, it's not about you. It's about you bearing fruit, all right? So the last part, for he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even blindness, and has forgotten, underline the word forgotten, that he was cleansed from his old sins. He was cleansed from his old sins. How many of you remember before you met Jesus Christ? Some of you are like, ah, oh, it's been a lot. Yeah, okay. So, okay, now let me do a Salvation 101 review, okay? So I'm going to lead you into the path. Salvation 101. All of us came into this world into sin. We were born out of the womb into sin. Not because you did anything wrong. That guy did. Adam. Everybody go. It was Adam's fault. All right. Adam's fault. He sinned, but we are born into sin. All right. Adam. And because Adam sinned in the garden, because he did that, Jesus came to redeem us, to pay a price for you so that you don't have to if you'll accept him. If you don't accept him, you're still in sin. Once you accept him, I'm not. All right? It's your choice. All right? So, okay, this is a little background here. So let me ask you questions. Since you've been a Christian, has anybody sinned? Bunch of liars if your hand didn't go up. Are you kidding me? Y'all sin, okay? How many of you sinned since you got to church?
I was thinking Pastor D's doing this thing. Oh, yes, that was a sin. Okay.
Now, the good news is the blood of Jesus has washed us, that we don't have to carry guilt if we sin. I don't have to. Quickly chuck it out, right? All right. Now, what he's saying in verse 9 is, if you lack these things, by adding virtue, by adding knowledge, if you, you know, by adding all these things, if you lack these things, you're going to be blinded and you're going to forget what Jesus did for you. You're going to forget. And you forget and you start living back the way you were. I wasn't really nice the back way I was, all right? Most of you were not, all right? Some of you are just so sweet. You met Jesus at age 3 and a half, all right? But, okay. What happens is that blindness means you're going to forget. You're going to forget. You're going to forget, all right? Now, I'm going to flip this. You should not forget the life you came from. You shouldn't forget that. But what you should not do is live like that. Jesus did not die so you can keep living like the way you were, the BC days. He did not die for you to live and do all that crud. All right? He died so he'd bring you to a new life, and he wants you to live that, right? Amen. Now, no condemnation if you are. He'll bring you out of it, all right? If you're like, we call that backslidden, that's all right. Just say, Jesus, I am muffed up. Help me. And just step back, right? All right. Anybody want to go back to the way you were? No. Oh, my gosh. All right. Now, so here's what happens. After years of salvation, you can get blinded. You can get forgetful. And you can go back. And that's why he says, but if you do these things, this isn't going to happen. If you keep applying these things in your life, you're not going to happen that way. Yay! All right. Verse 10. I'm going to wrap up. Here we go. Let me think. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and your sure election, like your salvation, sure. For if you do these things, you know those things, you will never stumble. All right. Now, verse 11. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ. So what's he saying? I'm going to stretch your noodles today. He's saying if you do these things, you're going to have an entrance into the everlasting kingdom? Okay, sounds a little okay, this is my interpretation on this, but I'm going to toss some more things. He says, your entrance when you die into heaven is going to be really cool. Okay, look at that. You're all looking at me. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ. If you do these things, your entrance will be supplied to you abundantly. A translation says a triumphant admission. It's like the Super Bowl team that goes to the parade and everybody's like, yay! All right. And I know I'm stretching this, but I'm going to back it up. It's the Titanic. The thing is sinking. I got in a lifeboat and I'm grabbing as many people as I can. Now, this lifeboat, Jesus holds up. I can pack a zillion in there, okay? This scripture tells me, just me, that if I am serving the Lord in just my gifts, okay? Your gift is a whole lot different. I don't get your gift, okay? It's still wrapping my brain around it. But I get what Jesus has put in my life and where I'm supposed to call him. And so what I'm doing is I'm tossing people in this boat. I'm telling, I'm living, I'm serving Jesus. And then when I die, he's going to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Come on, enter in. Now that's a triumphant admission. Or you can be the one person in the boat. You made it in the boat. That's because Ruth Cashman led you to the Lord, right? Because she leads people to Jesus. It's our heart. And you're sitting in this boat. You're just so happy in this boat. And you die. And I'm sorry, but you might just get there by the skin of your chinny chin chin or teeth, whatever you want to say. And I have a hunch. That's not like, whoa! That's like, thank God we can pull them underneath the gates. All right, now I'm stretching this, but I want to impact your life, okay? The Bible says in Hebrews 12 that we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. Those are people who have gone on and met Jesus. And they are watching us now, cheering us on. But I got this little fantasy going in my head. The day that I get up there, everybody that I have slimed, touched Jesus with, just smiled, led your little kids to the Lord, because I'm going to have a big, they're all going to be up there. Whoa, Pastor D is here. Because I've served the Lord. I've served the Lord. And the way you serve the Lord by your gifts is different than mine. Okay? Not many of you called up here. All right? But how many of you want a triumphant entrance? Woohoo! Yes. I hope they have a ticker tape parade that just doesn't quit when you get up there. All right? But if you're barren and unfruitful, I don't know what kind of reception you're getting. All right, now I'm painting a real fluffy picture. Don't go quoting, da la la. All right, but think on this. Think on this. I'm trying to jog you to think on this. All right, so if we do these things, I'm not going to be barren. I'm not going to be idle. I'm active. And you go places I don't get to go to be active, to be serving. If I do these things, you will never stumble and fall. That is just too good to be true. Now, that was Peter. I got one more. Oh, see, I might get you out of here. Literally. One more scripture. Like, who else said this? Who else would make this wild statement? If you do these things, you will never fall. Jesus did. Turn to Matthew 7. Okay, if you're not going to believe Peter, you're going to believe Jesus, right? Jesus. Okay, Matthew 7. Matthew 7, verse 24. Jesus says the exact same thing. If you do these things, you will never, I love never, never stumble, fall, fail, unproductive, idle, all right? Therefore, this is called Build on the Rock, Matthew 7, verse 24. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him unto a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rains descended, the floods came, the winds blew, beat on the house, and it fell, and great was his fall. Listen. Life. Everybody has life. You're living life. Everybody. Those two guys both had storms hit their life. Anybody have storms hit your life? I don't want your storms. I got enough of mine, okay? Everybody has storms in life that hits them. And sometimes that foundation is blowing. But you stand on, you hang on to, you apply the word of God. Jesus says, you will not fall. Right? So, the next couple of weeks, we are going to be honored to dig in the word and find out how we apply virtue, knowledge, blah, 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 love. Okay, skipping ahead. All right, so you excited about that? Because when we get them so in our life, we will not stumble. And but I'd love to tell you, you're not going to have any storms, but you are going to have storms, but you are not going to fall. Your house is not going to go smash on the sand, right? You're gonna go through life. And I'm going through life, and I'm going to have a triumphant entrance. Amen. Amen. Okay, I have one more thing to say. Let me think. Okay, just wasn't worth in my head. Where is it? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, thank you. Thank you, Jesus, for your word. I thank you, Father, that your word is incredible, that your word would just give us a solid life. A life to be triumphant in, a life to be an overcomer in. I thank you. I thank you for each person in this place. I thank you, Father, that as they grow in their knowledge of you and they start applying it, Father, people around them are going to say, whoa, look at that person. Matter of fact, they're going to say, man, who is that person disguised in the body? Amen. So I thank you, Father, for your word that's transforming us. And we do hunger after more of you because it's not, we're not going to be short-sighted. We're not going to be blinded. We have your heart, and your heart is for everyone that you put in our path. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, okay. Praise the Lord. I have one announcement because it leads into this. Where's my flyer? Okay, I left it.